Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Wave the flag for us and high, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champion, known throughout the land.
Wheaties, breakfast of champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. Say, when it comes to holding down one of the most interesting and exciting, yes, and sometimes one of the most dangerous jobs in the world, how would you like to trade places with Captain Bob Bartlett, the Arctic explorer? Think of it. You'd live for months in the land of ice and snow. You'd travel miles and miles across the frozen wilderness of the Arctic, where the winds howl constantly. You'd cross the ice barriers and deserted snow-covered plains where few white men had ever set foot. You'd feel the deep, penetrating cold of the North Country, a wintry chill that blasts the temperature down to 20, 30, 40 degrees below zero. Yes, sir, that's the kind of weather Captain Bob Bartlett faces on his Arctic exploring trips. And if you were traveling in the frozen north with Captain Bob, one of the first things I'm sure you'd learn would be to wear extra heavy clothing and to carry plenty of good, nourishing food along with you. The kind of food that supplies lots of fuel energy units to help keep you warm. And here's a big surprise. One of the very best heat-producing foods you could take on your Arctic exploring would be those crisp, toasted flakes of good whole wheat, the one and only Wheaties. Just you listen to what Captain Bob Bartlett says about Wheaties. He tells you, if you want to know how important it is to eat a good big breakfast, spend some time up in the frozen north, where it's not unusual to find the temperature 40 below zero or even lower. That's why I never go on an expedition without Wheaties. A heaping bowl full of Wheaties with plenty of milk or cream, sugar and fruit is a real breakfast of champions. The kind of breakfast a fellow appreciates when he finds himself surrounded by mile after mile of ice and snow. Yes, Captain Bob knows what a good cold weather food Wheaties are. And do you know why Wheaties are okayed as a champion winter breakfast dish? It's because of those important fuel energy units I mentioned. Wheaties are jam-packed with fuel energy units to help keep you warm. This means if you prefer those extra good Wheaties flakes in chilly weather, you don't need to switch over even once to a hot cooked breakfast. Wheaties are every bit as good at helping to keep you warm as an equal serving of hot whole wheat. You see, it's a mighty wise idea to stick to Wheaties this time of year. You're getting all of the well-known essential nourishment of real whole wheat. You're getting a flavor that hits the spot every morning. And you help yourself to a big supply of fuel energy. Ask for Wheaties tomorrow. And now, Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. The two-masted schooner Spindrift, with Jack, Billy, Betty, and Uncle Jim and the Filipina Michelle aboard, has fought her way through a terrific typhoon and has now arrived in the Sulu Sea. A gentle breeze has carried her along over smooth seas, and she has now arrived at the exact spot in the ocean where Professor Loring's chart indicates that his yacht was wrecked. In that yacht is a quantity of precious uranium-235, which Uncle Jim needs to recover for his experiments in atomic power. But there is nothing to indicate the presence of the submerged reef on which the yacht was sunk. And so now, while the Spindrift is standing by with all sails down, while her crew unload the autogyro plane, which Uncle Jim brought along to help find the sunken yacht, the foresail gaff, which has been rigged up as a derrick boom, and Jack and Billy and Uncle Jim are hoisting the autogyro out of the ship's hold, while Betty and Michelle stand by to assist. Listen.
Uncle Jim, I told Billy to sit on the tail of the fuselage to keep it down as we hoisted her.
Good. Help me pull and we'll hoist her up. Betty, you and Michelle stand by to keep the fuselage from scraping on either side of the hatch.
All right, Uncle Jim. I'll stand on this side, Michelle. You stand on that side.
Everyone all set?
All set, Uncle Jim.
All right, Jack. Heave.
She's coming up. Oh, my, Jack, I don't see how just you and Uncle Jim can raise her by yourself.
Block and tackle does the trick, Betty.
Watch it, Betty. She's swinging too much to your side.
I'll push her over, Uncle Jim. There. She's right in the middle of the hatch now.
Keep on pulling, Jack. We'll have her above deck in a moment.
We were lucky the typhoon didn't smash her up, Uncle Jim.
We can thank you and Billy for that, Jack. You did a splendid job of lashing down everything in the main hold.
Keep the tail of the fuselage down, Billy. She's going to scrape.
I'll do my best, Jack. There. She's clear now.
We'll raise her just a little higher, Jack. Then we can inspect her pontoons before we swing her overboard.
Well, they looked all right in the hold, Uncle Jim. but maybe they won't look so well in this bright sun.
All right, Jack, this is high enough. Now swing her over the starboard deck and we'll look at the bottom of the pontoons.
This pontoon looks all right, Uncle Jim. I don't see a scratch on it.
That's great. This one looks sound as a dollar, too. I think we can set her overboard now, Jack. Swing the gaff way out.
Watch out for your head, Michelle. Here goes.
That's enough, Jack. Now lower her away. We'll put her in the water and gas her up.
It's a good thing the sea is so calm.
Oh, we couldn't have set her overboard in a rough sea, Betty.
Easy now. She's almost touching the water.
There she is, Michelle. Climb down to her and unhook the block and tackle. Then make a breastline fast.
While you're doing that, Michelle, I'll have Billy get up the gas cans and the hose. Billy, bring those gas cans on deck.
All right, Uncle Jim.
Do you think it'll take long to find a submerged reef in a sunken yacht, Uncle Jim?
We may never find them, Betty. Professor Loring may not have been sure of his position when he marked it on the chart. On the other hand, we may spot them at once. Or we may have to hunt for days.
But we can't hunt for days. Chapatto and Blackbeard and their crew may get here any time.
That's a chance we've got to take, Betty.
We can assume they're somewhere in the Sulu Sea looking for us, Jack. If they happen to be at their radio when that transit steamer saw us and reported us, they'll know exactly where we are.
Oh, it's too bad that little old steamer had to radio that they saw us.
That's the duty of all ships at sea, Betty. We were reported lost in the typhoon by the Manila authorities. All vessels were asked to be on the lookout for.
And you can just bet that the Black Shark was all tuned in, waiting to hear where we were.
Billy has the gas cans on deck, Jack. You and he gas up the tank while I check over the engine. We don't want to lose any time hunting for that reef.
All right, Uncle Jim.
Here's the gas, Jack, and the hose and funnel, too.
Okay, Billy. I'll take the hose to the auto gyro. Betty, you hold the funnel in this end of the hose while Billy pours the gas.
All right, Jack. Give me the end of the hose, Billy. I'll lash it to the rail.
Okay. It won't take much gas to fill that tank, Betty. I put some gas in before we hoisted her out of the hold.
Now, hold the funnel, Billy. Are you ready, Jack?
Just a minute, Betty. I've got to unscrew the top of the gas tank.
I still don't understand how the auto gyro flies without wings, Billy.
It's all in the rotors, Betty. They go round and round like a windmill and keep it up.
I know. I've seen her fly, but I just can't get used to an airplane without wings.
All right, Billy. Start pouring the gas.
You hold the funnel there, Betty. There, that's right. Keep your eye on that funnel, Betty.
Oh, I'm sorry, Billy. I was looking around the horizon for the Black Shark. I just know she's going to appear the moment we find the sunken yacht.
Well, that's why we've got to hurry. If they catch us on the high seas out of sight of land this way, they'll be a tough bunch to handle. But there's not a sign of her on the horizon.
And I'm afraid of sharks, too, Billy. If Uncle Jim and Jack have to put on those diving suits and go way underwater, the sharks may come around.
I know, Betty, but... Oh, wait a minute. Here, we need another can of gas. This can ought to fill the tank. Hold that funnel up.
There are sharks here, aren't there, Billy?
Yeah, you bet there are, Betty. But Michelle says he can scare them off, and he can fight them off with his knife, too. I've seen him do it.
Easy there, Billy. She's almost full. She is full.
If the engine runs all right, they're all set to start off, Betty. And I still don't see a sign of the Black Shark on the horizon.
Billy, come down here a moment.
Oh, coming, Uncle Jim. Pull the hose on deck, will you, Betty? I'm going to board the auto gyro. What can I do, Uncle Jim?
Jack and I are all set to take off, Billy. We're going to search in a wide circle, keeping the schooner in the middle of our circles. You keep an eye on us. If we have to make a forced landing, you and Michelle hoist sail and come and pick us up.
But gosh, whiz, Uncle Jim, you don't expect anything to happen, do you?
Well, I don't know, Billy. This engine's been shaking about quite a bit in that typhoon. Anything might happen. But you keep an eye on us. If we come down and don't go back up in a minute or two, come and get us.
I'll keep an eye on you every second, Uncle Jim. And you can keep an eye out for the Black Shark. Maybe you can see her when you're up in the air.
We'll do that, Billy. Hop off now.
I'll unfold the rotors as soon as we drift away from the schooner, Uncle Jim.
All right, Jack. Cast off. This breeze will push us away in no time.
Stand by for the line, Billy. I'll heave it to you.
I've got it, Jack.
You can start unfolding the rotors, Jack.
I'm doing that, Uncle Jim. Oh, say, they just spring out into position, don't they?
Now sit down in the cockpit beside me. Pull that cowling back over our heads. The engine noises won't bother us then.
Back she comes, Uncle Jim. Say, it gets hot in here in no time.
We'll get ventilation when we get going. Let's see if the inertia starter works.
The starter works all right.
The engine's working, too, Jack.
Say, this noise-proof enclosed cockpit is something. Will it take long to warm the engine up?
She's warm before she starts in this climate, Jack. See how she's revving up already.
That oil temperature's climbing, too.
We'll taxi along the water for a while until she gets good and warm.
Boy, oh boy, I'd forgotten what speed is like. Look at those pontoons knifing through the water.
A little faster than the schooner, eh, Jack? Watch those rotors pick up speed as they go around. I want to apply the power to for this takeoff.
We're off, Uncle Jim. We're off the water already.
That's the auto gyro for you, Jack. We can go straight up and down, almost like a helicopter.
We're certainly going up fast.
I'm going to fly in circles, Jack, getting further and further away from the spindrift. You keep a sharp lookout to the right. I'll keep my eyes glued to the left. If that submerged reef is anywhere around here, we'll find it.
If it's submerged too deeply, we'll never see it, Uncle Jim.
We can see anything down to 30 feet in this water, Jack. And if the yacht struck that reef, the reef isn't submerged very far.
Then maybe the yacht is all above water, Uncle Jim.
I don't think so, Jack. If she'd stayed above water, nobody would have been lost. And since nearly everyone was lost, she must have struck the reef, then settled back into deep water immediately.
I hope it's not too deep for us to reach with our diving suits.
And on the other hand, I hope it's deep enough so that she wouldn't break to pieces when that typhoon passed her. There must have been some real waves sweeping over that reef.
Uncle Jim, look over to the right. See where I'm pointing? The ocean seems to be a darker shade for a stretch.
I see it, Jack. We'll fly over there and see what it is.
There. We're heading right for it now. Hold this course and we'll fly right over it.
That is the reef. We're pretty lucky. We might have had to look for days to find it.
And if we were in the spindrift, we might have sailed right by it without seeing it.
Take a look around the horizon, Jack. You see any sign of the black shark?
I've been looking for her, Uncle Jim, but I don't see a sign of any vessel on the horizon.
She's not very far away, I'll warrant.
We're getting close to that dark area, Uncle Jim. Do you think it can be the reef?
Certainly something under the water, Jack. It's too long and too narrow to be the reflection of a cloud. I'll drop down close to the water as we approach it.
It must be the reef, Uncle Jim. It's about a mile long and very narrow.
That is a reef, Jack. I can see why it wouldn't be charted. It's not on the steamer lanes, and a hydrographic boat might sail up and down the Sulu Sea for years and not see it.
It is a reef, Uncle Jim. I can see the long ocean swells build up as they sweep over it. A ship could see it in the daytime.
But not at night, and that's probably when Professor Loring's yacht struck. You're right, Jack. It certainly is a reef. I'm going to drop down right over it. We'll fly up and down and see if we discover any sign of the yacht.
Uncle Jim, we're dropping straight down. Say, I like this autogyro.
So do I, Jack. Now I'll hover over this spot for an instant. Can you see anything?
Nothing that looks like a wrecked ship, Uncle Jim. But I can't get over the way this autogyro can stay almost still and keep up in the air. Look out, we're almost touching the water.
I won't go any lower, Jack. We'll fly along the reef and see what we can see. Look sharp now.
I'm not missing a thing, Uncle Jim. Look, straight ahead of us. There's a vague shadow in the water right alongside the reef.
I see it, Jack. We'll be over it in a second.
It looks as though it might be a wrecked ship, Uncle Jim, but it's way underwater.
We'll know for sure in a second, Jack. Yes, by Jove, it is a wrecked ship. It slid back off the high ridge of the reef. It's about in 30 feet of water.
Then it's Professor Loring's yacht. It must be his yacht, Uncle Jim.
Yes, it must be, Jack. And in that yacht lies the treasure of uranium-235, which half the nations of the world would like to get hold of. You see any sign of the black shark yet, Jack?
Not yet, Uncle Jim.
Then we'll get the spindrift up here and start diving operations right away. And let's hope that the black shark doesn't show up until we're through and gone.
So the wrecked yacht is found at last. And if the black shark will only stay away for a while, Jack and Uncle Jim will have time to recover the precious uranium-235. But they'll have to work fast, because the black shark did pick up that radio message and is speeding toward the spindrift with the diesel engine wide open. Hurry, Uncle Jim, there's no time to lose. And say, you'll certainly want to be on hand tomorrow when the spindrift reaches the sunken reef. You'll want to be with Jack when he puts on that diving suit. So listen in at this same time tomorrow for another exciting episode of The Adventure of the Sunken Reef with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Now, have you got the Wheaties all lined up for your breakfast of champions tomorrow and every morning this week? I have a hunch you're going to need lots of Wheaties, because they sure do taste good with milk or cream and your favorite kind of fruit. That's the breakfast you should be eating this week and every week.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all the bran.
This is Franklin McCormick saying goodbye until tomorrow for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, breakfast of champions, who have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
So just buy Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land. Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand.